Today's shiur is Masechet Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, and we will begin at Daf Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that the mitzvah Shluch HaKein applies B'chulin Avalavim Mekdoshim, that only animals, only birds which are Chulin, we have this din, not by birds that are Kodshim. Ask the Gemara Mailoi, why is there no din of shluch hakein by kachim? Answers the Gemara Dama Krav, because the Torah says, Shalayach to Shalayach is ha'ein. B'mi sha'atam etzuvah l'shalchay, only in a situation where you can send the mother bird away, is there a halacha of shluch hakein? Yotzezeh, sha'atam etzuvah l'shalchay, whereas over here, when the bird is kachim, it cannot be sent away. Ella Lavila de Gisbar, there's an obligation to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. And as the Rishonim explained, what the Gemara means to say is that we can't send the bird away because there's going to be a concept that's going to recur in our Gemara, the concept of La'amar Torah L'shlach L'takolo. The Torah certainly did not tell us to send the bird away where somebody could come to make a terrible mistake with it. Given that this bird is kachim, we may come to use it for personal use when it's kachim and it may not be used for personal use. Another pshat is that we have an obligation to deliver it to the Beis HaMikdash. But since we have an obligation to deliver it to the Beis HaMikdash, we cannot do anything other than, or to the Hegdash, and therefore we don't have an option to send it away. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask, what was the Gemara's Havamina that we should be able to use this bird, that we should do Shluch HaKein? Of course, we have the mitzvah of Hegdish. We have the mitzvah that we will magdish it. And once we will magdish it, we have to fulfill our obligation. So I saw two pshat. One pshat that the Rishonim suggest was that the Gemara's Havamina was that the mitzvah of Shluch HaKein perhaps supersedes the mitzvah of Hegdish. Another pshat that I saw is that what the Gemara is trying to say is that since you cannot do Shluch HaKein, you cannot send away the mother, maybe under these circumstances there is no way to use Havonim. There is no way for us to be able to use the children of this bird. Teaches us the Mishnah and the Gemara that there is no mitzvah Shluch HaKein, and since there's no mitzvah of Shluch HaKein, we can't send away the mother, and we can keep the children for ourselves. Which of course opens up another question, because as we have been discussing many times in our Masechtas, there's a concept of Vlodas Kodshim. And these birds, the children of the, if the mother is Hegdish, then the children of Vlodas Kodshim, and aren't Vlodas Kodshim Hegdish in their own right, so how can we use them for their own, so how can we say that we could use the children? So one Teretz says that the entire concept of Vlodas Kodshim may only be Midrabonim, and he was speaking Midaraisa. Another Teretz that I saw, as we're going to see, the halakha of Shluch HaKein applies even if the mother bird is hovering over birds that are not its own. So the din of Vlodas Kodshim would not apply, because Vlodas Kodshim only applies by birds that are themselves the children of the mother, not obviously by other birds. Another teretz that I saw is of Kivegas teretz that he was only magdish the birds, after he took away the children. So there's only kedusha on the mother only after she had the children. When is there a din of Vlodas Kodshim? The din of Vlodas Kodshim only applies that they were in the mother's womb, or they were conceived after the mother is Hegdish. Here, they were born before the mother was ever made into Hegdish, so the din of Lodis Kachim doesn't apply. I'm Ravina. So Ravina makes the following comment. Hilkach, Oif Tar Shaharik Senefesh. If a kosher bird killed a person, and then that bird escaped and was found nesting over its young eggs or birds, Pata Mishlua, there won't be a chiv of Shlucha Kain. My Tama, Dama Kra, Shalech to Shalech Sa'ein. The Mishach to Mitzuvah L'Shalchon. The din of Shlucha Kain applies only when there's a chiv, when there's an opportunity to send away the mother bird. Yatazesh, Yatam Mitzuvah L'Shalchon, whereas over here, the mother bird cannot be sent away. Ela Lavi L'Bezdin. The mother's bird has to be brought to be Bezdin to be killed. Ask the Gemara. Let's drill down and further understand this case. Hechidami, exactly what is the case that we are referring to? Idagamadimli, if the mother bird has already been decided that it should be killed, baktulahu, it's chuyv misa. And the Rishonim give two areas of understanding it, this Gemara. So since it was already sentenced, and Bezdin sentenced the mother bird to death, how is it possible that that mother bird would escape? It's under the control of Bezdin. Another pshat I saw is that since the mother bird was sentenced to death, so of course it cannot be sent away, because we have to be concerned that if somebody will come to use it, and an animal that was sentenced, a bird, or animal for the same matter, that was sentenced to death, is also Bahano. Ella, the white Gomadin. The case that we're referring to here is that it was not yet sentenced. And the question now is, it is now in a situation of hovering over its Efroichim, Ubayla Sula Beidina, and what the Gemara is teaching us is that instead of doing the mitzvah Shluch HaKein, what's more important to do is bring this bird to Bezdin, or Bayil Asur Beidina, bring the bird to Bezdin for sentencing for a din Torah for what it did, that it killed a person. From here, actually, we see that the mitzvah of Vata Rami Kebecha applies not only to people, but even to birds. Even though there are Rishonim that say the Vata Rami Kebecha is only by people, not by birds, they explain what by animals, they explain what the Gemara here means to say is a different pasuk. L'sosim domim beisecha. That means that this bird is a killer, and we have an obligation, just like we have an obligation to put a roof up in the house, we have an obligation to eliminate anything that could be, anything that could cause danger, anything that could cause danger. Furthermore, the Rishonim and the Rechonim already asked the following question. Actually, this person, this case, they're faced with a dilemma. On one hand, we can say that there's a mitzvah of Yivar Taharom Mikubecha to bring the spirit to Bezdin. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah of Shluch HaKein. And they therefore ask, why do we prefer to do the mitzvah of Yivar Taharom Mikubecha versus the mitzvah of Shluch HaKein? And I saw a number of answers to this important question. One teretz is that even though there's a concept that even though there's a concept of Shluch HaKein, and this is a concept that we're going to be speaking about a lot, the mitzvah of Yivar Taharom Mikubecha supersedes it. And the reason it supersedes it is as follows, says the Ram. Shluch HaKein is a mitzvah that if I happen to find a bird, I have to do the mitzvah of Shluch HaKein. But Shluch HaKein is not a mitzvah that I'm obligated to do, like I'm obligated to wear tefillin every day. And therefore, says the Rab, faced with such a situation where I could do the mitzvah Shluch HaKein or do the mitzvah of Avartara, which is absolute obligation on a person, takes precedence. Dar Sameach explains this concept a little deeper. He says, just mentioned, for example, that we have an obligation to wear tefillin every day. But even though we have an obligation to wear tefillin every day, that doesn't mean that we're allowed to steal money in order to buy a pair of tefillin. Says the Or Sameach, the same here. Of course, even though we have an obligation of doing the mitzvah Shluch HaKein, that obligation to do the mitzvah Shluch HaKein doesn't mean that we're allowed to do it in a way that's wrong. And doing this mitzvah, doing it in a way, doing the mitzvah Shluch HaKein, which will involve us not doing Ivat the Rami Kavecha, is like doing a mitzvah with stolen money. And therefore, of course, we should preferably do Ivat the Rami Kavecha. But now the Gemara continues trying to understand. With the Torah teaches us that there's no chiv of Shluch HaKein by Kotshim. Ask the Gemara, Hani Mikdoshim, Hechi Domi. Exactly what is the situation? For ask the Gemara. If we're talking about a case where somebody has a nest in his home, and he was magdashit, and the Torah is teaching us that there's no chiv shluch hakein then, ask the Gemara, of course there isn't. Mi mechayif, is there ever a chiv of shluch hakein on a nest that's in your home? Haven't we learned that the Torah says, ki kari kan sipur, prat lemezuman, only if it's found, not something prepared in your home? So there's anyway no chiv of shluch hakein. And there's a gval de gvart from the Mariamis. The Mariamis says that we're going to learn that the Torah says that the mitzvah of shluch hakein is a mitzvah kala. It's an easy mitzvah. And the question is, why is this mitzvah specifically designated as an easy mitzvah? Says the Mariamis. Part of doing a mitzvah is the achana for a mitzvah, the preparation for a mitzvah. And sometimes preparing for a mitzvah is even more difficult than the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah. Shluch HaKein, however, as Al Gemara now indicates, is the one mitzvah where there's no need to do any preparation. Problem is, if you prepare, then there is no mitzvah. That's what makes it an easy mitzvah. So again, what is the case that we're referring to, as the Gemara? El Bechaza came by Alma Vagdashay. Somebody saw a nest. It isn't in his rishus, and it was magdashit. Ask the Gemara, would it become kaddish under such circumstances, or mi kaddish? Doesn't the Torah say, ish ki yagdish es beisoi kaddish amrachmana, ma beisoi brishusoi? The only time something can become kaddish is like when it has the characteristics of your house, which is under your control, in your possession, afka brishusoi. If it's not in your possession, you can't be magdashit. And the Rishonim and Achronim here to make some very important points regarding the din of being magdish. One point that they make is, well, eventually you'll be able to get it. So isn't it the fact that maybe eventually that you'll have it show that you could be magdish it from now and the hegdish will be chal retroactively? Says the Marsham, from here we see there is no such concept by hegdish. If it isn't available to you now, you can't be magdish it. Furthermore, the Chasam Sofer and Rabbi Chanan discuss that the Gemara says that once something is within your Dalet Amis and it's within your reach, you could be Magdashit. So why are we saying that you can't be Magdashit because it's not in your Rishus? You can if it's within your Dalet Amis. So Rabbi Chanan says the din that you could be Magdashit something that's within your Dalet Amis is only Midrabonim. And here we're obviously speaking Midraisa. The Chasam Sofer says a very Tif of art. He says, absolutely, you can be magdish something that's within your Dalet Amis. But once it's within your Dalet Amis, just like you could be magdish it, you have an obligation to do the mitzvah shluch hakein, which tells you, don't be magdish it, but instead of being magdish it, fulfill the mitzvah of shluch hakein. Said the Gemara, Ella, the case must be, that binu afroichim, he picked up the afroichim, v'tishinu, and he took ownership of them, and he was magdish them. V'hada hadrina, and then they went back to their nest, not in his rishos. Ask the Gemara, such a case, hanefil bechur namil mechayiv. In such a case, even if it wasn't kachim, you wouldn't be chayiv a mitzvah shluch hakein. The Tanan, For as we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn in the Mishnah, not was a bonim, if somebody first took ownership of the Afroichin, the Gzirim came, and then afterwards he put him back in the nest, and then the mother returns, Potim L'Shalayach. Says the Gemara, the case is, El the Agbalay, he took ownership of the mother, for Agisha, and he was Magdashit, for Hadrin, and then it went on its nest. Ask the Gemara, let's try to understand this. In such a situation, ask the Gemara, when you had a mother and the bonim, there was a chiv of shluch came. The Tanya, that chiv can't go away because you were magdashit. For says the Gemara, the Brisa says, Rabbi Yechon ben Yosef Oimer, Hikdash Chaya, we know there's a halacha of Kisui Adam by Chayas at Oifus. So says the Brisa, someone who's magdash Chaya, Vakach Shachta, and then he shechts it, Potom al Chasas. There is no chiv Kisui Adam. For as we learned, this is considered a Shechita Shena Ruya. Why is it a Shechita Shena Ruya? Because you can't eat from that Chaya. It's Kaidish. And a shchita shen a roi loshma shchita, and there's no chiv kisui adam. However, shachta, at first he shechted the animal, and therefore the chiv of kisui adam kicked in. Vakach hadisha, and then he was magdashit, chayv al chasas. Why? Shekva nischayv b'kisui, he already had a chiv kisui, kainu shibol day hegdish. So ask the Gemara here too. As soon as you identify this bird, this nest, you had a chiv shliuch hakein. The Hegdish that can't be chal to exclude, to exempt me from the mitzvah. So says the Gemara, what is the case that we're referring to? Rav Amar Magdish Peir Shoifchay Mardai. Somebody was Magdish birds for a carbon, and afterwards they flew away. And the Mishnah is teaching us that there is no chiv of Shluch HaKein. Shmuel Amar Magdish Tanagoros to Bede Kabayis. He was Magdish of birds for Bede Kabayis. And the exact same situation, and then they escaped, and there's no chiv of shluch hakein. And as we've learned many times, to understand the next part of our shir, we have to remember that there are two types of hegdish. There's hegdish with kedushas aguf, and there's hegdish of bed kabayis. And kedushas aguf is always considered a higher level of hegdish, as we've been learning in our shir. So here, Peir Shavkai is Kedushas Aguf. Kedushas Domin is only at the value you have to give to Hegdish. So says the Gemara. Bishram Shmuel Amakarav, the explanation that Shmuel gave is not the explanation that Rav gave. The Kamokim way, because he was saying that we're even talking about birds that only have Kedushas by the Kabayis. And the Chiddush, as the Rishonim explained, is that even if it only has a Kedushas Beda Kabayis, there is no din of Shluch HaKein. Or as the Ritva says, we're going to be speaking extensively now in the Gemara about a concept of Lashem or Oretz and Meloyoi. And Shmuel is teaching us that we apply this concept of Lashem or Oretz and Meloyoi even by Kedushas Beda Kabayis. However, Elo asked the Gemara, Rav, my Tama, Loyomik Shmuel, why doesn't Rav give Shmuel's explanation, which, as we just explained, represents the Gechidush? Answers the Gemara. Amlok Rav, Daf Kopapi Yemul Shluach, Kigoyin, Peir Shoyfka, the Kedushim Kotzim is Beif Ninu. I deliberately spoke only about a case that has Kedushim Saguf. The key of the Kotzim Kedushim Saguf, once they attained Kedushim Saguf, Loy Paki Kedushim Sayim Menayu, they always keep that status, and therefore they remain exempt from Shluach HaKein. Avo the Magdish Dan Goyle Pad Kabayis. Indeed, in a situation where you only had a Kedushas Domim, the Lav Kachim is Beach, the Kedushas Domim Ba'almahu, and only had Kedushas Domim, Kivan the Marda, once it flies away, Paki Kedushasai. Indeed, the Hegdish dissipates. And since the Hegdish dissipates, Chayemus B'Shluach, there will be indeed now a chiv of Shiluach HaKein. V'Shmuel Amar, how does Shmuel defend his opinion? Kalechad Isa V'Gei Rechamana Isa. Even if it has only Kedushas by the Kabayis, wherever it is, it has that Kedusha. The Ksiv And the pasuk indeed says, "Lashem haaretz amalayay." Wherever it is, it has that kedusha. And since wherever it is, it has that kedusha, therefore it remains exempt from shaluach hakein. V'chein amar b'yochan. And the Gemara quotes a similar concept, a similar discussion. The Magdash Tana goes by the Kabbalah Samardu. Rabbi Yochanan says that we're referring to a situation where somebody was Magdash with a Kedusha Stamim, and that Hegdash never goes away. Amalei Rishim Malakish. Says Rishim Malakish, Rabbi Yochanan, is that true? V'chim Shemardu Pakalei Kedusha Asar. And again, as the Rishonim explained, since it's a lower level Hegdash, it's only Hegdash Stamim, ought not to be the halacha that when it escapes, it loses that status. Amalei, to which Rabbi Yochanan replied, Beikaz Rachman Issa. Wherever it is, it's in the world of Hashem. Tuksiv Hashem Ha'aretz Malay. Says the Gemara, Ramad Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Ramad Rishim Malakish, we're going to identify a stira in their opinions, because it says, Nitma, for we have learned, if somebody said, Man is Zoyal Bede Kabayis, he donated money for Bede Kabayis, the Nigdavu had never done that, it was stolen or lost. Rabbi Yochanan Machai Bechriusan, you are responsible at Shabbat de Gizbar until the Gizbar receives them, and therefore you must replace what was lost or stolen. The Shlokish Amar, you don't need to replace it, because the Shlokish says, Kalecha the Isim Vegas Brech money, so wherever they are, they're under the control of Hashem. Iksiv, Hashem Aretz Malayoy. So ask the Gemara, doesn't this represent a steer in their opinions? Kaf Resh Lakish and Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish a moment ago was not willing to subscribe to the concept of Hashem Aretz Malayoy, and wherever they are, they're under Hashem's control. And Rabbi Yochanan was the one that actually did express that opinion. So ask the Gemara, Kaf Resh Lakish and Resh Lakish, Kaf Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan. Answers the Gemara. Resh Lakish and Resh Lakish like Kasha. Hamakam the Sham Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. Before Resh Lakish heard his Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan teach this concept of Kol Eicha the Issa, the Beit Goz Rechamana the Issa, he said this halacha. Ha, the boss the Sham Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. Once he heard his Rabbi Yochanan and his Rebbe explain this concept of Kol Eicha the Issa, the Beit Rechamana the Issa, he accepted it. But, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, we still need to reconcile Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Ami, Loi Kasha. Hada Amalai, Hada Amarezu. Which means as follows. There are two ways of making a donation. You could say Harei Alai, which makes it a personal donation, personal obligation. And therefore, in that case, when you said Harei Alai, if something happens, you must replace what happened. If you said Harei Zu, then you're not making it a personal obligation, and if something happens, you're not responsible. So in the case of Shluch HaKein, he said Harei Zu, and since he said Harei Zu, it becomes Hegdish under all circumstances, and therefore it's exempt. If you said Harei Alai, and now it flies away, so since you have to bring another pair, that's why you have to replace it. Says the Gemara, it seems that Rabbi Yochanan is subscribing to this distinction between Harei Zu and Harei Alai. Resh Lakish, on the other hand, will hold that even in the case of Harei Alai, but let's say you were magdish the birds with the words Harei Alai, still Loi Mechayiv, it would not be chayiv if they flew away. Vatna, but ask the Gemara, this distinction between Harei Zu and Harei Alai is a Mishnah, because the Mishnah teaches us, Eiz Nadava, what is considered a Nadav and what's considered a Nadava. Nadav ha'im Harei Alai Oila, if you use the word Harei Alai, Nadava is when you only said Harei Zu Oila. Mabe Nadav Nadava, continues the Mishnah, what is the distinction between them? Nadav, if somebody expressed his obligation as a nether, meso nignavosha of the lost stolen chai b'chuyusa, he must replace it. Nedava, on the other hand, meso nignavosha of the and a chai b'chuyusa. So we see that when somebody says Harei Alai and something happens, he has to replace it. Yet Rish Lakish is saying that even if somebody was magnish the birds with harei alai, he has the concept of l'shem haaretz m'loyei. It's still not required to be replaced. Answers the Gemara, Amalek Reish Lakish. When is there a difference between Hani Mili? When is there a difference between Harei Alai and Harei Zu by Kedushas Mizbeach? The Mechusa Krova. Somebody that has a Kedushas Aguf that you have to bring to the Mizbeach. So until you actually brought it to the Mizbeach, or according to the other Rishonim, until you actually brought it to the Azara, there you're personally responsible. However, says Reish Lakish, Ava Kach Bet Gabai is the Lava Chusa Krova. Kach Bet Gabai is as soon as you were magnishit, you fulfilled your obligation. Teaches us Reish Lakish a Chiddush. Ava Gad the Amr Loi Alai Loi Machai. So says Reish Lakish as follows. Even though we've always learned there's a difference between Nether and Adava, there's a difference between Harei Zu and Harei Alai, all those differences only exist by Kedushas Haguf. By Kedushas Damim, there is no such difference. And the moment you're magdishit, you fulfilled your obligation, and you have no further obligation, even if you use the words, Harei Alai. And therefore, in the case of the birds, which, as we explained, is speaking about a case, certainly according to Shmuel, of Kedushas Damim, that he said that it should have that Kedusha, it has that Kedusha under all circumstances, even if they fly away. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That even when something only has Kedushas Domin, there's no difference between Harei Zu and Harei Alai, but Tanan. But there's another Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Haimer Shaza Oila, if somebody designates a shor as a carbon oila, or Bayis he designates for Kedushas Badika, Bayis carbon, makes a shor, Nafal Bayis, and then the animal dies, the house collapses, and a chayv b'kriyusa. He has no further obligation since he used the word harei zu. But if he added the word alai, he said char ze alai oilo, bay ze alai carbon, meis ashar v'nafal abayis chayv l'shalem. He does have to replace it. Now let's think about it. The house obviously is not a carbon, so it only has kedushas damim. Yet what? And according to Reish Lakish, we just finished saying that whenever something only has kedushas damim, it makes no difference if you said Harei Zu or Harei Alai. Once you did yours, you have no further responsibility. But why? He was saying that even though it has Kedushas Damim, you are responsible. Answers the Gemara. Hani Mili. Hayech the Meisah Shov Nofel Abayis. And let's just explain the concept of the Gemara's Teretz. What is the reason that indeed Reish Lakish says that if you were magdish something with Kedushas by the Kabayas, makes no difference how you were magdish it, and something happens, you don't have to replace it. Because, as we've been learning in our Shir, there's a concept called Hekh de Issa, Bei Goz Rachmoni. So wherever they are, they're under the dominion of Hashem. But that's only if they still exist. That's when we could say the concept of Kol Hekh de Issa, Bei Goz Rachmoni Issa. But if it died, it collapsed, you can't say that concept. So now the Gemara is drawing a deeper distinction in Reish Lakish's word. Yes, Reish Lakish says that by Kedushas by the Kabayis, it makes you no difference if you said Harei Zu, Harei Alai. Once you were Magdashit, you did what you were supposed to do. But, says the Gemara, that's only when the thing that you were Magdash still exists in the world. It may not exist in your control, but exists in the world. If it doesn't exist in the world at all, then even Reish Lakish will agree, if you said a lie, you have to replace it. Hani Mili, so now the Gemara says, Heich the Meisah Shov Nafal Abayis, that if the Shor died, or the house collapsed, and you said Harei Alai, Chayiv L'Shalim, then you have to replace it. The lesson, because these items no longer exist in the world. Aval Heich the Isnu, if they exist in the world, and you, even if you said Harei Alai, but it was a Kedushas by the Kabayis, we have the concept, Kolech de Isa Ve Gozer Rachmona, Isa de Tzivah Shem Ratzim Lai. A person who wants to remagdish his value, or somebody else's value, has two ways of doing it. He could say, I'm magdish the value. And the way his value is assessed is what is his value as a eved, as a servant. If a person, however, the Torah in Parshas Bechukai site teaches us the Parshas of Erechin. The Parshas of Erechin teaches us that every person, based on his age and gender, has a certain value. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Amnuna, Hakam Moedim Be'erechin, that when it comes to somebody accepting upon himself an Erech obligation, Afagav the Amar Olai, even if he uses the word Olai, Loi Mechayiv, it won't represent a personal obligation. What, my Tama, why? Because, says Rav Amnuna, Loi Mitma Loi Beloi Olai, there's no way for him to express this obligation without using the word Olai. Why? Because Hechleimu, exactly what should he say? Lema erki, just to say the word erki, aman, what does that mean? Lema erich plani, just say the words erich plani, aman, what does that mean? So therefore, the Gemara is saying, what Rav Amnuna means to say, since in every erich obligation, you have to use the word olai, so the word olai doesn't represent that you're taking upon yourself an extra personal obligation, and therefore, even though typically the word olai does bring that new personal obligation that we've been speaking about, here it doesn't represent a new personal obligation. It just represents that's the way I'm saying the nether. I have no other way of saying it. Maskula Rava asks Rava, Lema, why not? He could have said Hareini Beriki. It could have said Hareini Berik Plani, Hareini Berik Plani. So therefore, when he said olai, it certainly represents a new obligation. Voi. Ask the Gemara another question, Tanya. We learned the Brisa, Reb Nosson Oimer. The Torah teaches us a parasha of Yoivim. And the Torah distinguishes between somebody when he was Magdish, a stay Mikna, an acquired field. In such a case, it's really not a Hegdish, it's a lease. And when he wants to be paid, so let's say he sold it for 50 years of Yoivim, for $50, he redeems it with as many years as they are left to Yovel. The Torah then speaks about if someone who's Magdish Estei Achuza, where there the Torah gives a specific value to the property. And the Pasuk in the middle of this whole parasha says, V'nosen Esa Erkecha Bayoyma Hu Kodesh L'Hashem, which the Torah in the middle of this parasha, which is speaking about the different types of fields in Yovel, speaks something about Erkecha, Ma Tama Loyma. Rafisha Matsinu, says Rav Nosson, Bagdashis or Meisah Shemeskala Moshe Bechulin, the Hegdash and Meisah could be redeemed. Nognavu Shavdu, and furthermore, the halacha is that if they're lost or stolen, you have Hegdash or Meisah, they're lost or stolen in a Chai Vechrus, and you're not responsible. Yochel Avzakei, perhaps here too by Erech, it should be the same halacha that there shouldn't be a personal responsibility. Tamalai Venosan Sarekacha, Chulan Shiavadei Gizbar. Even if you designated money to fulfill your Erech obligation, and then that money was lost, you still have to designate new money. So says the Gemara, actually we end up with the opposite result. Eliyetma hochiyetma. Omer Abnuna. Hakam moidim be'erechin. Dafgav da'om lo'yom olay mechayim. We've been learning that the only time there is a personal obligation is if you take the word olay. Teaches us Rav Abnuna, erechin, even if you didn't use the word olai, that personal obligation is there. Siv, the nosan of erkecha, chumah biyotcha atziyavdei gezber. They're not hegdish. You haven't fulfilled your obligation until you make sure hegdish gets its money, even though you didn't use the extra word olai. We learned in the Mishnah that chayim b'kisui, that there's a chumah of kisui damo v'shluch hakein, and then the Mishnah said that the din of shluch hakein is only, as we mentioned earlier in our shiur, by words that are not prepared. Tarabon, the pasuk says, Ki karikat tzipol finecha. Ma tamulem, what's the Torah teaching us? Says the Brisa, Fish nemar, shalayach te shalayach es aim, es abonim tikichla, yoch liyachse baharm gvoyis, kadeh shiim tzakein, that a person should go out of his way to find a nest to do the mitzvah. Tamulemar, ki karik. Only what you find, you don't have to look for it. And this Gemara is where the Rishayim and Akrayim discussed the issue that I mentioned earlier. Is there an obligation to go out of your way to do the mitzvah Shluach HaKein? Some, the Chavis Yor, says that there is no obligation. The Gemara is teaching us that you don't have to go look for birds. If you find it, do the mitzvah. But some Seifer says just the opposite. And some Seifer says that what the Gemara is teaching us is that you don't have to go to the mountains to find the bird, because that's difficult or impossible. But you do have an obligation to try to find a nest to do the mitzvah of Shluch HaKein. Others learn even less of an obligation to do the mitzvah Shluch HaKein, because they explain that the entire mitzvah Shluch HaKein is only in a case where you took the mother bird and now you have a problem. What are you supposed to do? Because you're not allowed to take the bird and its bonum. That's what the Torah says, Shalech to Shalech HaSeim. But if you didn't do the wrong thing by taking the mother, then certainly there is no chiyuv. There are others that explain that the chiyuv of Shluch HaKein is, the Gemara says, the Be'ilin Rischa, in times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kaviyochel, angry Klai Yisrael, there he watches, are we doing mitzvahs? And Be'ilin Rischa is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, looks and sees, do we do the mitzvah Shluch HaKein? There are others that explain that this Gemara is teaching us a very important concept, that strictly by the mitzvah of Shluch HaKein is where the Torah is teaching us that we have no obligation to go out of our way to fulfill the mitzvah. But by all other mitzvahs, we shouldn't take the approach that if we can fulfill the mitzvah, fine, and if we can't, no. Then on the contrary, the Torah is teaching us by all other mitzvahs, we have to go out of the way to try to fulfill the mitzvah. Continues the Gemara, Kain, become Makan. Even if it has only one egg or one chick. Tzipor, Tahira, Veloy Tameya. It only applies by kosher birds, not by non-kosher birds. Lefanecha, Rishus HaYachid. It only applies in the Rishus HaYachid. Bederech, it applies Rishus HaYachid. Bederech Rishus HaRabin. Bilonis Menayim. How do we know that it applies to nests that are in trees? Tamaloyma b'cholets. B'bayrus tzichra ma'ayrus menayin. Tamaloyma ayala arts. Even on the ground. Says the Gemara. Says the Brass. V'chima achas shesim finu l'rabbis chaldover. If we're going to include all of these cases, l'fenech v'derech l'amali, what does the Torah have to say these words? Answers the Gemara. L'amalach, ma derech she'ein kina b'yotcha. When we speak about a path, it's not in your hand. Af kol she'ein b'yodecha. The mitzvah is only when it's not prepared. When it's prepared, there is no mitzvah. B'kar oimru, yarn shavich, doves that are in a nest, yarn aliyah, doves are on your roof, swarm shekina b'svichim b'iris, birds that are nested on your house, lagos v'tanagos shekona b'paradis in your field, chayovim b'shluach. They're not in your control. Avakon v'tarkabayis, v'ken yon hardesoyis, which we'll see soon, patim shluach. Because they're not considered ena mazum. Amama, ma derech she'ena b'yotcha, when is it considered a chiyuv only by a path which is not in your control? Av kol she'ena k'ena b'yotcha, that's not in your control. How long are we? Ask them, why do we need a new pasuk to teach us that? Mi ki yikarei nafka. Ki yikarei pratel mazumin. V'oid. So we already know this difference, that prepared, there is no chiyuv, only when it's unprepared. Furthermore, l'fanecha l'amali, what do we do with the word l'fanecha? Says the Gemara, l'fanecha is coming to teach you, coming to teach us l'suyei, shayu l'fanecha mardu. They were under your control, and then they escaped, there's a chiyuv shluch HaKein. B'derech is coming to teach the halacha of Yehuda Meraf, Dar Rav Yehuda Raf, Motza Kein B'yam, if you found it in the sea, chay b'shluach. There's a chiyuv of shluch HaKein. Shnema, Shkoi Omer Hashem, Hanoisein Bayam Derech. So we see that even in the Yam, it's considered a Derech, and Yuchai and Shluch HaKein. Elamat the Kots came to Shemayim. Ask the Gemara, if you find a cane in the sky, that means that one bird is carrying the nest, you should also be Chai, perhaps, in Shluch HaKein. Because the Pasuk says, Derech Hanesha B'Shemayim, as the eagle soars in the sky, it's so we see that what's flying in the sky is considered derech, and perhaps the halacha ought to be hachinam dechayim mishluach hakeim. Answers the Gemara, a derech in the Shemayim, a path in Shemayim, derech nesher ikri, it's called a derech nesher. Derech stam eloi ikri, it's not just called a plain derech, and the chiv of shluach hakeim is only by a derech that's a regular derech, not a derech for Shemayim. There's an interesting vort from the Ragged Shavar. They asked the Ragged Shavar if there's a chiv of tefilas haderech, somebody has a chiv to say tefilas haderech when he's flying on a plane. So he said no, because he said our Gemara says that a derech shebeshamayim is called derech nesher, and it's not called a derech, and therefore the chiv of tefilas haderech was only said by derech, not derech nesher. They said there is no chiv to say tefilas haderech when one flies in a plane. And actually, that's the opinion of the Chalkus Yaakov as well. However, I saw the Ramosha and the Tzitzeliezer and the Satmar Rebbe or Paskin, the Tfilas HaDerech should also be said when one takes a trip on a plane. Continues the Gemara. Amalei v'apnoi l'Rav Masna. Matzah came b'roshu shel Adamahu. We find a cane on top of a person. And as the Aruch HaShulchan explains, what is the case that we're referring to? He speaks about hermits in India who separate themselves from civilization, and they just sit in the ground, and within time there are nests that form on their head. Furthermore, the Mepharshim explain that even though our Gemara is speaking about the cane that's on the head of a person, the cane that's on the head of an animal will certainly be considered, the head will have certainly whatever din will be here, will be there. Omar, v'adoma al roishoy. So the pasuk says, adomoy, growing in somebody's head, is considered like it's part of the ground, and therefore the din of shluach hakeim will apply by a nest on a person's head and by a nest on an animal's head. Ask the Gemara, Moshman HaTorah Minayim, where do we see Moshman HaTorah? It says, Gemara b'shagam hubasa. The Torah says, b'shagam, and the gematria of the word b'shagam is 345, which is the same gematria as Moshe Rabbeinu. Haman min ha-Torah min ha-Mayim. Where do we see Haman in the Torah? Hamin ha-Eitz. Esther min ha-Torah min ha-Mayim. Where do we find Esther in the Torah? V'noichi haster asti. Mordechai min ha-Torah min ha-Mayim. Tiksev mor dror. Metagamina meri dachya, which meri dachya means the one of the spices. And Mordechai, being the leader of Klal Yisrael, is compared to a fragrant spice. So, of course, the Mepharshim try to understand this Gemara, many different pshatim. First of all, the Mashal says the reason that the Gemara specifies and looks for specifically these, for the root of these four people, names, is because all four of these people we find had many names. Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu had 10 names, and Esther, we know, is called Hadassah. The Gemara's question is why, if they had all these names, are they known specifically by these names? Moshe Natar Minayim, furthermore, the Mepharshim say, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned so many times in the Torah. What should Moshe Natar Minayim? So they say, what the Gemara means to say is that in all the other Sfarim, Shmoyis, the Yikub Amid Medvarim, of course Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned many times. Mar seeking for a place, where is he found in Parshas Bereishis? Another pshat, Moshe Min HaTorah Minayim, is that Moshe Rabbeinu, people would think our greatest leader, was in Shmoyis for 40 days and 40 nights, was some sort of a malach. Says the Pasuk, Moshe Min HaTorah Minayim. How did Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Moshe Rabbeinu? B'shagam Hubasa, who was an apostle of Adam like the rest of us. And Min HaTorah, by delving into the Torah, he became the great Moshe Rabbeinu. Another pshat in the Mepharshim explained regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, and what the Gemara means to say, is that Moshe Rabbeinu, in the time tell the Mabel, people live very long lives. People could do a lot, accomplish a lot. Moshe Rabbeinu lived only 120 years. But Moshe Rabbeinu's lesson is that you can make a lot out of every moment that you live. Famous word from the Dubna Magnet, that the Magnet said that there were two people that left the world. One was an older person, one was a young person. And they came to Shemayim, and the young person they were calling old, and the old person they were calling young. And he said, because the old person wasted his time, and the young person fulfilled every moment of his time, that's why the older person, that's why he was called old. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that maybe you live only 120 years, a lot less than they lived in the times of the Mabul, but he utilized every moment of his life for Torah and Avodas Hashem. One more pshat is that the Torah HaKadosha, when it speaks about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, always speaks of Moshe Rabbeinu was the honor mikol adam, was the most modest individual. But the Torah doesn't teach us how he became so modest, or that there's a mitzvah to be modest. Says the Gemara, Moshe ben Atar Minayim, where did Moshe Rabbeinu learn the importance of modesty? So the pasuk says, "Bishagam habasar." He always remembered that we are only bas v'dam, and we have nothing to be arrogant about. Haman ben Atar Minayim, the Farshim explain that the pasuk is trying to teach us that Haman represents actually the same situation that happened to Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was brought into a world, a perfect world, but he did the Aveira and he ended up bringing death to the world. Haman the same. For Yom HaMemuchan, he was one of the great ministers in the cabinet of Ahasuerus, and he ended up, he ended up hanging on the tree. Another pshat that I saw is that Haman, there's a story. There was a city, there were people of a city that wrote a letter to the Baal Shem that they want to know, how do we know that there's Tchiyas HaMeisim? They didn't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim. So the Baal Shem told the Degel Machna Ephraim, how did these people come to such a situation that they were kaifrim be'ikr, they didn't believe in Hashem, they didn't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, is because the people in that city ate macholas asuras. So that's what he said, that's what the Gemara is saying. How did Haman become to such a madrega, to being such a balavera? It was because Haman ate. He ate macholas asuras, and somebody who eats macholas asuras comes to the Big Aveira. Rabbi Aaron says the same concept. He says that what was the Aveira that Adam HaRishon did? The Adam HaRishon had the whole world at his hands. There was one tree that he couldn't have, and that caused him to sin. Haman also was in such a powerful position. He should have been satisfied with what he had. The fact that he wasn't satisfied with what he had, he even had to have Mordechai's position, that's what caused him the tzara. Esther ben Atar Minayim. So I saw here two number of pshatim. One pshat is Esther, we know, at least on the outside, seemed was living with Ahasuerus, was a friend with Haman. How did she know that caused her fellow Jews great concern, that they didn't have a queen in the palace to protect them? How did she know that is the way that to get Klal Yisrael to do tshuva? And not if he has to ask her. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that to us. Esther ben Atar Minayim, another pshat is, how did Esther know that that was the right thing to do? Another pshat, Esther ben Atar Minayim, how do we know that the nes that happened by Esther is not a one-time situation, but like we say on Purim, Shu'osam HaYisrael HaNetzach, that will be forever? So the answer is, Anachi has to ask you. The Torah teaches us that is the derech of Hashem, that a lot of times we don't see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really running the world for our favor. Mordechai min atar minayim. So Mepharshim explained that Mordechai was a person. We know that Mordechai, the Mordachia, is the absumen that is the musk of a non-kosher animal. And that musk, even though it emanates from a non-kosher animal, since the halacha says it's completely considered like dust, since it's completely considered like dust, that's why it is considered that it may be used. It's not considered non-kosher. How did Mordechai come to this great madrega? Because he was like Mordechai. He was like this dust that has no real value. The last pshat, Mordechai, and the Gemara says, Mordechai's Mordror represents freedom. Mordechai, we know, was the leader of Klal Yisrael. Mordechai was the one that brought Nisim to Klal Yisrael. Mordechai, how did Mordechai come to that great madrega? And how did Mordechai, how was Mordechai able to bring such, be the vehicle for such a nes to happen to Klal Yisrael? And how was Mordechai zoicha to Mordror, to have no more tzaris min haTorah, because he learned the Torah and he connected himself to Torah? Those that learn and connect themselves to Torah are zoicha for all of the bracha.